Hal.
The sixth member of the crew was not human. It was the highly advanced HAL 9000 computer, the brain and nervous system of the ship. HAL, for heuristically programmed algorithmic computer, no less, was a masterwork of the third computer breakthrough. These seemed to occur at intervals of 20 years, and the thought that another one was now imminent already worried a great many people. HAL had been trained for this mission as thoroughly as his human colleagues, and at many times their rate of input, for in addition to his intrinsic speed, he never slept. His prime task was to monitor the life support systems, continually checking oxygen pressure, temperature, hull leakage, radiation, and all the other interlocking factors upon which the lives of the fragile human cargo depended. He could carry out intricate navigational corrections and execute the necessary flight maneuvers when it was time to change course. And he could watch over the hibernators, making any necessary adjustments to their environment and doling out the minute quantities of intravenous fluids that kept them alive. The first generations of computers had received their inputs through glorified typewriter keyboards and had replied through high-speed printers and visual displays. HAL could do this when necessary, but most of his communication with his shipmates was by means of the spoken word. Poole and Bauman could talk to HAL as if he were a human being, and he would reply in the perfect idiomatic English he had learned during the fleeting weeks of his electronic childhood. Whether HAL could actually think was a question which had been settled by the British mathematician Alan Turing back in the 1940s. Turing had pointed out that if one could carry out a prolonged conversation with a machine, whether by typewriter or microphones, without being able to distinguish between its replies and those that a person might give, then the machine was thinking by any sensible definition of the word. HAL could pass the Turing test with ease. The time might even come when HAL would take command of the ship. In an emergency, if no one answered his signals, he would attempt to wake the sleeping members of the crew by electrical and chemical stimulation. If they did not respond, he would radio Earth for further orders. And then, if there was no reply from Earth, he would take what measures he deemed necessary to safeguard the ship and to continue the mission, whose real purpose he alone knew and which his human colleagues could never have guessed. Poole and Bauman had often humorously referred to themselves as caretakers or janitors aboard a ship that could really run itself. They would have been astonished and more than a little indignant to discover how much truth that jest contained.